Welcome to the Independent Curriculum Group's Partner Podcast. The Independent Curriculum Group Partner Podcast highlights the work of our partner schools in the development of contemporary education as they embrace and enact the ICG's principles of independent curriculum, which you can find on our homepage at independentcurriculum.org. The Independent Curriculum Group is a consortium of over 150 schools around the world interested in building stronger, more effective programs. The ICG helps schools envision, design, implement, and evaluate school-generated, mission-aligned curriculum. Because independent curriculum is created in individual schools by teachers to serve their very own students, independent curriculum is innovative by definition. We hope that you will find this podcast both interesting and inspiring, and we hope that you will subscribe to our entire Partner Podcast series. Welcome to this episode of the Independent Curriculum Group Partner Podcast. I'm Peter Gao, Executive Director of the ICG and host of the Partner Podcast. Today on the Partner Podcast, we're talking with Vince Watchorn, head of school at Providence Country Day School in East Providence, Rhode Island. Full disclosure, I spent 3 very happy years at PCD early in my own career, and so I am especially pleased to be speaking with Vince about a school that is near and dear to my own heart. Vince Watchorn, thank you for joining us for the ICG Partner Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure to be with you, too.
Vince, can you tell us a little bit about Providence Country Day School, please? How old it is, a little about the students, mission, values, anything that's worth telling?
Of course. We are a school founded in 1923 as part of the Country Day movement across America. We are small by choice, about 225 kids in grades 6 through 12. That grade span gives us a real opportunity to specialize in adolescence. We have a mission that focuses on inspiring a passion for engaged citizenship, which is a concept that we talk about a lot because we feel like academia has to have some kind of connected relevance to our larger world, our larger communities. We want our kids to be able to do something with what they learn, whether it's later on in their lives or today. We want to be able to see kids succeed and fail in trying all sorts of different things so that they understand who they are and what they can do to best improve communities as engaged citizens throughout their lives.
Thank you. And so, Vince, how did you come to be at PCD? Can you tell us a little bit about your own path to PCD and the work you're doing there now?
Sure. I've been, I guess my whole career, really committed to the concept of student-centeredness. And years ago, when I was associate head at the Ellis School in Pittsburgh, I got a phone call about coming up to a city that I knew and liked very much, to a school that a consultant felt might be a good fit because he knew my own philosophy and my own thinking about schools pretty well. And I agreed to give it a look, and lo and behold, it really felt to me like a fit philosophically and culturally. And as we went through the process, I guess the search committee felt the same way, and we ended up getting together for me to lead the school through its next chapter. And I've been there for 6 years. I'm in my 7th now. And very excited to be a part of things at PCD, and it really has, for me at least, it's been that great fit that it promised to be from that first phone call.
That's great. Well, today we're going to be focusing on a group of programs at Providence Country Day School that live on the website, and I think in the school's culture, under the umbrella of Uniquely PCD. And how these programs represent aspects of what we call independent and innovational educational practice at PCD. I'm going to say that I am particularly intrigued by PCD's schedule, which has its own name, the Atlas. How does a schedule get its own name? And what are the special characteristics of a schedule that supports the whole world? What's special about the schedule, and how did it come to be?
Well, I'm really pleased that you chose to hone in on that particular element of our experience. I believe very much that there are many things that exist. If we don't name them, they just continue to be amorphous, undescribable things that we do. If something has a name, it gains an importance in our language and in our lexicon. This is particularly true to me of schedule. I like the way you phrase the question when you say, how does a schedule support the whole world? And that is essentially what we believe. When we went into our schedule analysis to determine how we should spend our day, we weren't just trying to find some convenient way to spend time. We were really trying to match our program with the way we invest and plan our time. The old adage, don't tell me what's important. Show me your checkbook and your calendar, and I'll tell you what's important to you. Is very, very relevant here in a different way. I think in this case, it's show us how you spend your time, and we'll tell you what's important in your curriculum, in your school life. And we really wanted to go into our analysis and our schedule planning, recognizing that the schedule is not just some way you willy-nilly choose to spend time. The schedule is, in many ways, the program. So if it's going to be that important, if it's going to be absolutely the illustration and the execution of how we value what kids do day-to-day and the way they do it, the way we think about learning, we felt it should have a name. And we wanted there to be something directional about it, something that helped point kids in a way. And we, I think you picking up on the idea that it supports the whole world is indicative of what we believe our schedule is, and that it is something that supports our whole program.
So what's special about the schedule? What are the special elements?
I think there are several things that I think are special about it. Number one, it rotates, and we're not the only ones that have that. Classes don't go, 8 o'clock on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every single day. We have a 7-day rotation. That means that essentially Monday is never Monday, Tuesday is never Tuesday. We're focused more on what is an A day, what is a B day. And so kids who are in different circadian rhythms or strong at different times of day never have to fall into a learning rut by having their worst class at the worst time of day. They're guaranteed that they'll have their worst class at their worst time of day, 1 day in 7, but they'll also have their best class at their best time of day, 1 day in 7. So that evens out, and also I think speaks to how kids love variety. I think it can get boring doing the same thing at the same time every day and falling into that routine. This really keeps the schedule alive. Also has a lot of impact on making sure that we're not tapping certain classes all the time because we miss a Monday for a holiday or a sports dismissal in the afternoon or something like that. But what I think is most special about our schedule is our 1 hour community time that we have every day of the week. On Wednesdays, it's a bit shorter, but we still have a community time. And this is, it's a lot of the day. It's an hour where we really focus more on student-driven activities than we do on things that adults prepare for kids. I always like to say that our community time is about opportunities, not obligations. There are some obligations. It's where our assembly program is, but that's really student-driven in many ways. It's where we would have a speaker for kids. It's where we do some of our identity or social-emotional curriculum is during that time. It's also a time when a student with a special talent can do a demonstration in fencing or singing or something that they want to share with the whole community. It's a time when students could individually pursue tutorial time, which is why it retains an instructive value for that hour. it's when we do clubs. We used to have 20 minutes for clubs, and you can't get a lot done. Once you get everybody in the same room and then settle down and then it's time to go, there's maybe only 8 to 12 actual activity minutes for clubs. And this is an area where we really want kids to be able to lead. It is not just a secondary activity to keep kids busy. We see it as a real opportunity for participation and leadership, for kids to be able to follow a topic in school that they're interested in and passionate about in their lives. School is much more than a classroom experience. So the club activity is something that kids can explore in a way that's meaningful to them. And that's really what that community time is about, is providing opportunities that are meaningful to kids, including the all-important adolescent social activity of just being together, socializing, having fun at school. You know, the cognitive research that we looked at when we did the schedule analysis showed very strongly that it might not be a direct impact on the grade they get, but kids who feel committed to their environment, feel like they belong in their school, and motivated to be a part of it, they feel like they belong, they feel more committed to their classes. They want to be there.
That's great. That certainly reflects what I think I've learned over the years watching kids in schools deal with the demands of time, and having kids want to be where they are is about the most important goal I think a school can have. And I love the way the schedule is built for that goal. There's another.
I think it makes an enormous difference for kids.
Yeah, no, I think so. There's another uniquely PCD program that Providence Country Day offers that has a sort of a geographical moniker, and that is the Compass. The Compass is described as a set of experiences that, quote, the set empowers students to start to visualize the course of their lives through high school, college, and into the years of their careers as working adults. The goal is to equip students with tools for self-discovery in order to see the power of their own potential, unquote. I'm fascinated by this because isn't the end of high school just, you know, when you're admitted to college and off you go? But the idea of giving kids tools to envision their lives. Please tell me all about the Compass.
I will do my best. Sure, the end of high school is graduation. But we also call graduation commencement. It's the beginning as much as it's the end. And we all know that old cliche, but I think it's particularly relevant in your question. I have a colleague, friend, who's in Baltimore now, who always says that the success of a school isn't measured by the college list or the AP scores, but instead by the level of enthusiasm at the 25th reunion. Which I think is a great and perceptive way to look at independent school. Our jobs with kids full time is during the time we have them up until they graduate. But I think we're short-sighted if we believe that that's where our influence ends. Or it really isn't where we want it to end. I mean, a lot of schools talk about lifelong impact, lifelong friends. PCD has a phrase in its mission that talks about lives of lifelong leadership and learning. So when we talk about being lifelong leaders, you know, that really has to start now. The Compass is something that focuses on the high school experience, but also on establishing a mindset that allows you to think and grow as a person far after you're out of college. But it stems from a college place. We wanted to be more intentional about our college counseling program, but in a school like ours, where we believe very much that the college decision is a match to be made rather than a trophy to be won, as our college counselor reminds us always.
We didn't. Good for that college counselor.
I'm sorry?
Good for that college counselor. Yes, yes.
Yeah, we're very lucky to have him.
Yeah.
But it would be, I think it would be out of our character to start with a rigid college counseling program in grade 9 that some schools have done very successfully. But we know kids need to be thinking about that part of their process. Essentially, we don't want kids to get to the junior year and suddenly, for the first time, have to think about their future.
Mm-hmm.
So the Compass helps them prepare for the college counseling process, not by focusing on college, but by focusing on themselves. In grade 9, mm-hmm. they do somewhat of it's a modified Myers-Briggs program, and that's actually something that we're exploring some other options with that. I think we may be doing some work with the Standout program. In 10th grade, they do a couple surveys about the kinds of things that they're naturally inclined to be interested in. And these are not huge time-consuming things. They're pieces with their advisors and with their college counselor that help them learn about themselves. Some of their classes in 10th grade, they start talking about what they believe in terms of the lessons they're being taught. Every one of our sophomores finishes, a project in the end of the year, towards the end of the year, trimester 3, that is an essay called This I Believe, which is focused on the NPR program mm-hmm. of the same name.
Mm-hmm.
The person who leads the Rhode Island This I Believe for Rhode Island NPR accepts all of those to read, and the ones that he likes the best, he invites our kids to read on air as part of the broadcast, which gives the kids another participatory experience, but more importantly, it gives all of the students a chance to put a stake in the ground and say, this is what I believe about a certain topic.
Mm.
Here's something that, first of all, I'm identifying as something I believe in, and I'm willing to think it through and say why I believe it. So in the junior year, they think a little bit more about what kind of major they might be interested in, and then from there, they're entering the college counseling process with some wind in their backs. So they're not just looking for the first time of, oh, you know, I love the logo of that college, I think I might want to go there, which I wish were a hypothetical example, but I think sometimes with some kids, it can be that arbitrary what spurs that initial interest. Our kids go, as they go through the Compass, they go into their college counseling process understanding a bit about themselves and a bit about where they might succeed and thrive. The Compass is a growing program for us. I think when we look at our strategic plan and some of the other things that are uniquely PTD, there is a lot more that we're going to be strengthening in that program and flexing to do more with. But the concept has cottoned really well in the school, and it's a compass because it's constantly pointing you in a direction
mm-hmm.
and helping you know who you are and what direction you should be going in. I think once that mindset is instilled in an adolescent, it's going to be hard to remove it as a young adult, an emerging adult, and throughout your life.
That's great, and I love giving it a name. Again, I think, as with the schedule, giving something that's important a name that is thematic really clarifies its purpose, and I think that's something that kids and I think their families really need, is to understand specifically what it is the school is trying to accomplish, and you lay that out pretty clearly. So I have to ask how these programs and the other programs under the uniquely PCD umbrella mesh with the day-to-day academic curriculum. And are the Compass, say, or Freshman Foundations, a name I recognize from Rhode Island School of Design, great idea, or the senior wellness groups, or the Nature Lab, are those add-ons to the curriculum? Are they supplements, or are they really part of the PCD core learning experience? I'm guessing core, but I'm wondering if you could help by drawing out some of the explicit connections.
Sure. I would argue that they're core. The one obvious exception to that is is the atlas, the schedule, which I would argue is the house in which everything contains. The compass right now is probably a little bit of an add-on because some of those activities happen outside the classroom rather than in the classroom, but we're actually working on, through our strategic plan to find some ways to emphasize and flex that program. So I think we'll see it seeping in a little bit more. A couple of the other pieces you mentioned are our foundations, particularly our nature lab. That, those get embedded more in the way we teach. A lot of our middle school science in particular, we see kids going outside. Why memorize your birds out of a book when you can go into the 12-acre forest we have on campus and take a look at what might be there with plant species similarly? And just in understanding how the outdoors affects your own psyche, that's something that kids can learn. But understanding ecosystems and the physical science that we cover in sixth grade, a lot of it is outdoor focused and can be interdisciplinary, which we're doing more with all the time. Our you mentioned the SEL, the social emotional curriculum, which for us has really morphed into something that we're calling our identity curriculum, where every year we pick a different theme that helps kids talk about and think about the way they relate to each other and think about themselves. The first year we did race and gender. Last year we did family and heritage. This upcoming year we're talking about empathy. And we'll take a whole year to focus on these topics. There are speakers who come in. There are advisor activities. Our director of diversity and inclusion leads conversations among the kids to walk through why these topics, these themes are important. And there are always activities that the kids can voluntarily get involved in to explore the themes further. That has been very successful for us, mostly outside the classroom, but it's something, again, through the strategic plan that we're embedding into the classroom more and more. One of the things we'll be doing through our plan is identifying a cross-weave, if you will, of values and subject matter, but values and themes that that will help enhance the subject matter that's being taught. So it might be, in this case, identity. It might be critical thinking, that we would make sure that as you were learning, whether or not it was humanities, mathematics, or AP computer science, whatever, you're going to be thinking about how to think critically. You'll be thinking about identity in those things, so that there's just a crossweave that goes through all the classes, grade 6 through 12, so that we make sure we're hitting the values we think are important.
I'm just reminding our listeners here that you are listening to the Independent Curriculum Group Partner Podcast. I'm Peter Gao with our guest today, Vince Watchorn, the head of Providence Country Day School in East Providence, Rhode Island. Vince, I'm wondering if you could please talk a little bit for our listeners about some of the ideas, the books, the thought leaders, the other kinds of resources that have inspired PCD and that have inspired you and others at the school in building this program that you've described as really being about the whole student. So whom have you all been reading and listening to and just thinking about?
I appreciate the question, because one of the things I really love about PCD, from the moment I had my first interview, I could tell it was a school that thought hard about the context for why it does what it does. And that has been one of the most joyful pieces of leading the school for me, is thinking hard about that and leading our team through that process. Truly, and this will sound so false, but it is so incredibly true, a lot of what we do today in 2017 is informed by a simple phrase that our founding head of school, Charles Breed, said in 1923, and that is that there are no sideliners here. And it is true. The motto of our school is play the game. And it doesn't mean pick up a ball and go out on the field. It means get engaged in whatever it is that you're excited about. Try something. Do something. Be active. Participate. Play the game. Don't sit on the sidelines. So that's that very phrase, don't, you know, that there are no sideliners here, continues to inform us. How does it inform us in terms of today's research and today's thinking about education? I think we're a school that is very aligned with the thinking of Carol Dweck and the mindset concept.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be impossible to embrace the PCD mission without having a growth mindset as opposed to a fixed mindset. Relating to that, we've done a lot of work with Dan Willingham from the University of Virginia, a cognitive scientist who wrote the book, Why Students Don't Like School. That was our faculty summer reading a few years ago. Dan was very involved, along with Roxanne Higgins, in helping us understand the cognitive underpinnings that kids need in the way they spend their time and their attention so that we could develop our schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Roxanne and Dan separately had a lot to do with the development of our schedule.
Roxanne from ISM.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roxanne from ISM. Beverly Daniel Tatum is somebody who I think very deeply influences our conversations about diversity and identity. And I could not point to a place in the school specifically where we have deployed Marcus Buckingham yet, although we're finding some ways. But his standout program, Marcus is the one who wrote the original Strength Finder for Gallup. He now has his own book, Standout, it's called, and it focuses on strength. How do you find your own strength? How do you work to strength? Because if you can focus on your strength, flex your strength, that's where you have the chance of making the biggest impact. So one of the things that we want for kids is to graduate knowing what their strengths are, so that, back to the compass, they can continue focusing on that part of their lives as they grow up and older to be engaged citizens in their communities. Those are some. And my guess is if you asked a bunch of other people, they would give you some others. And I think that Gardner's multiple intelligences is certainly something that informs the way we think. We haven't done any formal work with it, but I think it underpins a lot of what we do.
That's great. That's super helpful, and thank you. Vince, in one of our earlier conversations, you talked to me about the importance of the word yet at Providence Country Day School, and I'm wondering if you could share a little bit more about that with our listeners, please.
Oh, Peter, I'd be happy to. I think it's, yet, Y-E-T, provides three of the five most important words, letters rather, that we apply at PCD. I always look at the magic combination at our school is yet and we. And the we part of that is that being small, being focused on individual, being focused on building a true community in the school, and valuing diversity the way we do, it's about us together. We do things as a school. We succeed together. We fail together. We celebrate together. So everything comes back to doing things together, even in that binary of the student being assisted by the teacher. Yet, the other three letters are every bit as important and more, because it talks about the process of growing up. The senior is different from that freshman version of him or herself. That's because there's growth, and we know there's going to be growth. So when we approach the first-year student, the ninth grader or the sixth grader, and they say, I can't do this, we always, in our minds, add that comma, yet. We know there's going to be growth. I don't love this yet. You might love it someday. I'm not good at X yet. If you try it, you practice it, you might be good at it someday. I don't enjoy, I don't get along with yet. What is it that we can do to encourage kids to grow and to have that mindset that just because they can't do something now, it doesn't mean they're not going to be able to do it in the future. And that's another one of those mindset pieces that I think influences a life. Because if you can train yourself to think that way when you're 12, chances are when you're 64, you're still thinking that way. So we think it's we and yet five very powerful letters that make PCD what it is.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for that. I'm also wondering if you might help us out by talking a little bit about how the Providence Country Day school learning experience and learning environment reflects some of the independent curriculum group's principles of independent curriculum. This is the part of the partner podcast where I sort of fish here a little bit for some validation for our own work. But it seems that there are certainly great alignments here. Are there some highlights, perhaps even ideas and values that brought PCD into the independent curriculum group?
Well, I think the phrase that that led us to believe that ICG was a good organization for us to belong to was the one in your statement that talks about a commitment to transforming the way we teach and learn. We feel like we're a school that is committed to transforming not just kids, but their educational experience. We try to talk about an educational experience rather than an educational, rather than just an education, because there's so much more to it than that. And we do want to transform what we do in the classroom. I think PCD has been really lucky with this, the no sideline is here concept, which I think speaks, as I mentioned before, directly 90 years ago to some of the themes that are coming into play now. People are starting to talk about in terms of student-centeredness. So I feel like we have a founding-based advantage in the way we think about kids, but it's the 21st century. It's not the new 21st century. We're 17 years in now. It is really time to recognize that we can no longer, as an industry, as a field, we can no longer pretend that it's okay to prepare kids for the past that we grew up in. We have to prepare them for the future that they will face. And that means that we have to have a mixture of different types of teaching styles, including those that are really transformative, not just of what's happening for kids, but what's happening in the classroom, the way teachers are working, the way teachers are thinking. I think that was the piece that really drew me in.
Now, you guys are going to be digging into the implementation of a pretty ambitious strategic plan. And again, full disclosure, I've been invited by you, Vince, to see if I can be helpful to PCD in some of this work. I'd love to know your thoughts on where you see Providence Country Day School headed in the next few years, and how. And particularly as you know, it feels like there are schools that are kind of catching up, or at least, you know, now sort of talking about some of the same things that you're talking about, and but that have been part of the life and culture of PCD for a very long time. How will the school stay uniquely PCD as time goes forward?
Well, I feel like PCD will stay uniquely PCD by identifying what makes it unique and doing that better and more, and identifying ourselves in that way more. There are a lot of examples across campus of ways that we teach kids to think, to be ignited. We want to do more of that. We want to make that more of our signature rather than just, you know, something else that happens on campus in a good way. Our strategic plan, which you mentioned, I love, because it's not just about buildings and finances and the kinds of things that often drive strategic plans. It is it has all those things in it, by the way, but it is driven very clearly by programmatic advancement. And I think in order to understand the kind of advancements that we'll make, we have to understand the world that kids face today, and therefore the kids that teachers face today. There is an unbelievable level of distraction, as we know, with screen time and other activities and things happening outside of school, technology. I mean, there's tons and tons of things that kids can choose to pay attention to. And so we have to think harder about how we can compete in that very distracted, very crowded environment to make sure that their classroom experiences, their school experiences are dynamic and effective and engaging, maybe in a different way than what we would have found acceptable 20 years ago. Not just because we have to compete for their time and their attention, but because they're now facing so many different types of social interactions. We have to get on the train in understanding how they're going to be able to learn in the context of all those different forces. So we think about project-based learning. We think about making things relevant. We're looking very seriously about doing more with inquiry-based learning, the power of the individual question, not only to spark an idea or to ignite learning about a particular lesson plan on a day, but what about the, in my head, I always call it the chase question, the question that you're chasing the whole time. If you're studying two different humanities classes and you're just trying to pass the test, you're going to learn in one kind of way. If you're taking those two humanities classes, and they're very different, one's English and one is European history, and the question is, why is democracy important to people? It shades the way you read the book. It shades the way you think about the questions in the chapter. And it makes you think differently about the lessons of the subject matter in front of you. And so we're trying to engage kids in a more authentic and dynamic way so that they feel like they're active agents in the learning, not just recipients. And as I said, we have a lot of examples of this happening on campus now. We're just trying to give it a nice shot of vitamin D and and make it our signature, make it what we do.
So going forward then, I guess I'd ask, so how some of what is going on at Providence Country Day School might spread to other schools and other educational realms. You know, one of the things on the website I like is the fact that you talk about social and emotional learning and describe it as SEL on the website, which is the way, you know, we insiders talk about it in the biz. But that really indicates to me that PCD is embracing the idea that even in a very competitive market like Providence, where I think schools could easily get very caught up in the sort of the, you know, college list game, that the work we're doing as educators to understand kids' lives and needs still has to come first. Where would you like to see PCD's influence on education felt, whether it's in Providence or on a larger stage going forward?
Well, I think a couple things, Peter. I mean, just to answer the last of your questions there, what I would really like to see is for people to look at PCD and have the school help them understand how by genuinely paying attention to and caring about individuals learning and learning in a community together, they will learn better, learn more, and be more committed to their environment. I think that's a huge part of what we do. And I don't think that we make any sacrifice at all in the college list game. Because actually, if you look at our college list, it plays up to everybody else's. It's a very competitive list, and I think that by delivering the type of education that we do and that we plan to do in a more accentuated way, we're actually making ourselves more appealing to colleges because these kids are more more qualified and more accustomed to thinking and performing in the way colleges want them to. So I actually think this is the path to a strong college list that helps kids go to outstanding schools that are the right fit for them.
I'm totally with you there, and I think you make a really important point. And I think as educators, we're beginning to understand as a body that in fact, what really differentiates kids, I'll just say it, in the college process, is the kinds of experiences they've had and the way in which those experiences have allowed those kids to develop into the best versions of themselves, rather than putting kids through a ringer to kind of see what they can what they can do under a lot of pressure. And I think what you're describing is exactly the case now, that I think colleges are looking for kids who have had opportunities to think for themselves, to ask big questions, to make decisions on their own, because those are the kids who are going to be able to thrive in a larger, more sort of open-ended environment, as colleges usually are. And schools that can address that are really giving the kids not just the competitive advantage, but a real advantage, the real advantage of having, as you say at PCD, having their own compass. How great is that? So
it all fits together.
It does. So Vince, a question I like to ask people, because it helps me and it helps our board, it helps us all going forward, is how can the Independent Curriculum Group not just support the work you're all doing at Providence Country Day School, but also the greater task of supporting the promotion of the ideals and objectives at the intersection of our principles and the schools that you and others are working to create? What could and should the Independent Curriculum Group be doing to help and to spread the word?
Well, I think so much of it, Peter, is evident in the name of this program that you produce right here, and that is the Partner Podcast. I think being a partner for PCD and your other schools in your values of transforming teaching and learning and finding effective curriculum based on the unique missions of schools, being a resource for all of us to understand how we might be able to do that, I think that's a very powerful focus of a partnership. You asked a minute ago about how the work that PCD is doing could spread. I think that ICG is part of that broader germination. We'll be doing a lot with project-based learning and inquiry-based learning. Perhaps people can come look at PCD and see what's happening here and take that back to their own schools. But there are other schools that are doing other things as well, I'm sure, within the ICG membership that we can all learn from. And although we will all do it in our unique way, according to our mission or our commitment to transforming teaching and learning, there are opportunities, I think, for all of us to learn and understand how we can do what's best for kids in preparing them for their own futures coming up.
Well, that's great, and thank you. I'm hoping that the Partner Podcast and the other work we do is, in fact, promoting these good ideas in the way that we hope it is. Well, Vince Washorn, I want to thank you so very much for your time today, and more importantly, for the work you're doing at Providence Country Day School to support, promote, and enact the principles of independent curriculum as well as PCD's own mission.
It's a pleasure, Peter. Thank you for your own partnership and leadership.
It's a lot of fun. And listeners,
sure.
Listeners, we're going to be posting Vince's contact information along with the pressy of this podcast, so that those of you who have been engaged and inspired by the conversation can follow up with Vince with your own questions, ideas, and resources. That ends our Partner Podcast episode. And again, I want to thank you, Vince, for being a part of this, and thank our listeners for hanging in there.
My pleasure, Peter. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Independent Curriculum Group Partner Podcast. I'm Peter Gao, Executive Director of the ICG, hoping that you will listen to the entire ICG Partner Podcast series, and wishing you all the best in your own journey toward the future of education.